We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
This is Greg Olson, inviting you to check out my new Blue Wire podcast, TE1, where I interview tight ends throughout the history of the NFL who have helped revolutionize the position. TE1 is presented by the Chevy Silverado. The Silverado is all about grit. It's strong and dependable, exactly like playing tight end. Just like the incredible players we sit down with on the podcast, the Chevy Silverado is in a league of its own. Strong, advanced, and dependable. Download TE1 today, wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome to In the Know, the Bourbon Street Shots Podcast. We're your hosts, Shamit Duup and Mason Ginsburg, and this is All Pelicans All the Time.
Welcome to In the Know, where we are doing a podcast after many moons, brought to you by Indeed and betonline.ag, our fun sponsors of the pod. Mason, what is up? Haven't talked to you in a long time. You're in the New Orleans area. What's going on, my man?
Yeah, came back home, seeing my parents for the first time since January, which is it. It literally feels like 5 years ago, which I'm sure everyone can relate to for this year specifically. But took my first flight on Monday since February. And that was it's still like, you know, every part of what you're getting into, like the rules at the airport and on the planes. And like, it's still surreal.
Wait, I don't know what you're getting into. Describe the process.
Well, just like all the, like, you know, the airport looks totally different than what it used to. I mean, I was there at like 8 a.m, but still, like most places, most restaurants and stuff are open. There, a lot of those places are like in shutdown. And granted, my sample size here is one. It's the Detroit airport. But yeah, it would just look like it's a ghost town, relatively speaking. And I was there on a Monday morning. That's like peak consultant business travel time typically. And so you expect like a big crowds and there's no one there. You know, everyone's got their masks on, of course, and it's just a different experience. And then the plane too was just like they hand you, like, or at least Delta did, they gave a sealed bag with like a snack and a bottle of water. And like, that's like the one time they go through the cabin. And then like, I mean, everyone, like it was pretty seamless, and credit to Delta again. I don't know if every airline's doing this, but they're not selling middle seats. So, I felt safe, the whole time. Didn't know, no concerns for me. It's just still like it's different. Like it's still, even though we've been kind of doing this in real life for months now, it just feels doing something that I used to do so much, which is travel like for work, and just getting back on a plane and having this totally different experience was kind of a little surreal, even though it seems like it should be the new normal at this point.
Yeah, I can't even imagine. I have not traveled in a very long time, since January actually, and I have no idea when I will next.
It feels like legitimately the last time I traveled for work, or one of the last times, was when we caught up in Atlanta to watch the Pelicans.
Oh, yeah. Good times.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, so here for here until next Tuesday. So spend a little time with the parents and other family, which is nice. How you been?
I've been good. Been, you know, avoiding these storms that have been coming through here. Me not doing anything personally. The storms, I guess, have missed us, so we've been lucky. But, you know, just hanging out in New Orleans. Not really much to do here anymore with everything shut down, unless you try to go to Tracy's, and which is also shut down now. Kudos to them.
Oh man, yeah, what a couple of days, huh? I don't know what the goal is for posting a video like that, except to, and then to follow up with those comments about if you're scared, stay home. Like they could have avoided that shit so easily.
If don't. Play dumb games if you don't want to win dumb awards. That's the moral of the story, kids. Yeah. Anywho, I feel like, speaking of dumb games, we can transition over to the Pelicans and what's going on with the NBA as a whole. The Pelicans are still in the midst of their coaching search. It's kind of been radio silence on what is actually even going on there. Mm-hmm. A couple organizations have already hired a coach. The Bulls recently hiring Billy Donovan. So that is a big development. There was some buzz on whether the Pelicans should go after Billy Donovan or not, but they chose not to. Wasn't there another organization that recently filled a coaching position?
We had, we talked about Brooklyn last time.
Steve Nash.
Oh, maybe not. Yeah.
No, but. Yep. They got Steve Nash. So. They were also one of those teams where the name Ty Lue has been attached to them, and turns out they weren't really ever interested in Ty Lue. It was Steve Nash the whole time. No. And the Ty Lue stuff, which is funny, we'll get to, but the Pelicans haven't really made any news. So if you're hearing weird things, chances are it's probably not true, because this thing is very close to the chest of the front office, and they really haven't been leaking anything.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I what Griff said about it, the day they let Gentry, they had the presser about Gentry, was that this is going to take time. And so I respect that process. You know, you don't want to rush to a decision. And not even saying, like, I know the Bulls kind of turned around pretty quickly, but they saw a guy, they thought, you know, who they sold the vision for, that, you know, how they see the future of the franchise, and they went and got their guy. And so you know, not saying that rushing things is always bad. I mean, if you regardless, you should make sure you're interviewing a number of candidates that you feel like are capable of doing the job, rather than just grabbing the first guy you think sounds good. But I mean, I don't think I think there are not many people out there who would say Billy Donovan is not a good hire for the Bulls. I think is he the best hire? Who could possibly know that? But I think he's a solid choice.
Yeah, I talked to a lot of people around, I guess, kind of associated with the Pelicans, and there was a lot of enthusiasm about Billy Donovan. I'm not talking about like David Griffin and them, like as a candidate, but just as a person, a lot of people thought that they spoke very highly of Billy Donovan. Thought that he was a great coach, a great human being. Thought any organization would be lucky to have him. So. Seems like the Bulls are making moves, and they have a new GM, a new coach now. And the Billy Donovan move would seem to imply that, you know, he left OKC for not wanting to be part of a rebuild, then maybe Chicago wants to speed things up a little bit. Maybe they've decided they've been in the lottery for quite some time, and it's time to get back to some winning ways. Well, and they do have the assets to make that happen. It's going to be interesting to see how they approach that.
Yeah, but even like within, if you want to call, you could probably call the Bulls a rebuild just like you call OKC a rebuild, but there's different stages, right? And so the Thunder, if you assume they're going to trade Chris Paul, they've got this bevy of picks, and that's going to, they got a longer way to go on their rebuild efforts, I think, than the Bulls. Even, you know, even if they're not a playoff team next year, they've got some pieces, and you can see, you could see if you feel like some of these guys have been underutilized, how they can make that push, especially given the excitement that came across about the Billy Donovan hire from your boy, Bradley Beal. Are they going to trade for him today or tomorrow?
Yesterday.
How hard
Beal is already in place. They're going to trade for Bradley Beal. They're going to sign Joakim Noah, and they're going to be the third best team in the East.
we can have a podcast when that happens.
I do feel like the Bulls have enough assets to pull off a Bradley Beal trade. Can we talk about that for a second? Hold on.
Yeah.
They have Zach LaVine, who is a young talent, but and or salary matching, depending on how you feel about him. They have Wendell Carter Jr. They have Lauri Markkanen. They have Coby White, and they have the number 4 pick coming up. That's a lot of assets, and obviously any future picks that they may hold. They could be a dark horse team if Washington ever wants to move on from Bradley Beal. There's a team right there.
Those are a lot of players. I struggle with. I think you have a wide range of assets there. I mean, I think LaVine is a solid asset. I think we were originally questioning that contract, but I think he's, I don't think his defense is so bad that it makes him a bad contract. I think it's at minimum slightly positive. I like how he's grown his game offensively this year specifically. But I think, you know, Markkanen is, you can have the same conversation that we're having with Lonzo with him. It's like you got to make a big decision with him in a year. So that's tough. Wendell Carter Jr. is definitely, I like him a lot. So I think that's between him and the 4 pick and however you feel about LaVine. I mean, I think definitely
and
to your point.
There's Coby White and there's future picks. I mean, yeah. Look, if the thing is between that and Gary Harris and a trash pile of whatever the hell Denver has to offer, or, you know, the whatever Brooklyn has to offer, I feel like Chicago can easily put up a trade that matches or exceeds whatever those other two teams may want for Bradley Beal easily.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, I mean, they definitely have the pieces if they wanted to get it done. And if the Wizards had any desire to move him, which I'd imagine if the price is right, why wouldn't they, right? If they're going to hang around the eighth seed in the Eastern Conference, they've got to make some move.
Yeah, who knows? You know, it'd be funny if they end up sending Otto Porter back to the Wizards part of the salary. That would be quite something. Anywho, I feel like we've talked enough about my best friend Bradley Beal. We can move on to more Pelicans related stuff. But kind of like zoning back in on the coaching stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, there was a lot of talk when Steve Nash was hired. Did he skip the line? Is this another instance of where black coaches who have been grinding for years are being overlooked and not being given the same considerations, or even former top-tier black players like a Chauncey Billups maybe being overlooked and Steve Nash skipping the line? And do you feel like that conversation is going to color how the Pelicans approach their coaching hire?
Hard to say, because I feel like it's all I think as long as you take the process seriously, then no one can fault you for the results in this situation. So I think the issue with Brooklyn and with Steve Nash was exactly what you said. It seemed like this came out of nowhere. And did they hire Jacques Vaughn did they interview Jacques Vaughn even with the like any inkling of an intent to actually hire him, or was it always Steve Nash from the start? And it was just a disingenuous process. And so that's the issue I see. And so, I feel like we haven't heard much about that from the Bulls, and where, I mean, I think Billy Donovan again was a strong hire for them, is what was their process like? I wasn't as close to the Bulls. I think did they interview like Wes Unseld and I don't know who else they interviewed, but
yeah, Mark Spears tweeted a list of like eight or nine names. There was quite a few names that they went through.
Yeah. And so like, as long as, and we can never really know how honest or genuine some of these processes are, but as long as, the Pelicans take their time and really consider candidates from, a multitude of backgrounds, and not just, demographically speaking, but, in other forms as well. Like, I feel like I won't fault them for the process. What the problem comes in when you interview like three people and it's just like, it's very clear from the start who you're targeting, and there's no, everyone can kind of predict where you're going to go with it. So we'll see, but it's all about the process.
Yeah, I agree. I think the Pelicans, if you look at any kind of their recent hiring history, they've mm-hmm. been pretty diverse in who they hire. I mean, you look at their organization, there's Trajan Langdon at GM, there's Swing Cash as a vice president. There is Bryson Graham as the assistant GM. Dell Demps was here prior to David Griffin. Alvin Gentry was just a coach. Prior to him was Monty Williams. I don't think anyone can ever say the Pelicans don't do their due diligence when it comes to all possible candidates. So we should continue to expect that to be the norm, regardless of who was hired as a coach. But something I find interesting is the Pelicans have kind of been linked to Ty Lue day one, with his obvious association with David Griffin. And Ty Lue has been quote unquote the favorite in like four different places. Like first it was Brooklyn. Currently it's Philly. It still is kind of Philly, maybe in New Orleans and maybe in Houston. And, it turns out he was never really a favorite in Brooklyn at all. It was just Nash, with a little bit of Popovich, misdirection there, but it was just Nash, and mm-hmm. with Philly, it feels like, okay, well, are they going to go for D'Antoni or are they going to go for Ty Lue? Who knows? But my point with Ty Lue is it seems like his name was thrown out very early in the process and kind of everywhere. And it seems more and more that this just is really good agent work where you get your name attached to pretty much every big name, high profile job position. And if teams feel like there is a market for you, they rush to overpay you, they rush to give you what you want. And I kind of feel like Ty Lue's market is dwindling, or it's certainly not what it was, where he seemed like the guy that everyone wanted from the get-go.
Yeah, I feel like the agent work piece is spot on, and I think the important part of how you phrase it was that it's about the money here. I don't think there's concern from Ty Lue's camp or from Ty Lue that he won't get a job that he wants, because I think he's got the resume, he has the experience, all the above. Like he'd be a great coach. But the question is how much can you make him in demand, and what can you what kind of money can you put on the table or years for him? And so I think that's where maybe they're starting to lose some leverage. And so who knows what he really wants? I think still you probably put Philly as the favorite of the remaining teams. The Rockets would surprise me, I guess. It just doesn't seem like as much of a fit as like Philly or even New Orleans would be. But just because you don't know, like, what does that Rockets team look like in 2 years? There's a lot of uncertainty there. Where at least like in Philly, you've got its young core. In New Orleans, you've got a younger, less far along core, but still like players you can build with. And the Rockets are a little tumultuous. While they're probably they're still pretty good right now, who knows how much longer that can go on with the way the age of their players and all that. So I'm very curious, and I certainly wouldn't rule him out of the conversation for New Orleans at this point.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating to see where he ends up, and not only where he ends up, what the actual monetary deal is. Mm-hmm. I would be surprised if he gets the full $7 million per year that he kind of wanted from the Lakers. He may get a longer term deal, like a 4 or 5 year term deal, but I'd be shocked if it comes out to seven or more million dollars a year. But weirder things have happened, who knows? And I think we're at the point where if anyone is confident about what's going to happen with the Pelicans, they got something to sell you. I don't believe that anyone truly is in the know about what you mean. I think you can make I think you can make logical assumptions, right? You can make the logical assumption with Lou if you wanted to, where, okay, well, Brooklyn's kind of out of the picture. Philly, if they really wanted him, they would have had a deal done by now, and they wouldn't be flirting around with Antoni or some other coaches. Mm-hmm. Chicago already hired someone. OKC is probably not looking for a championship-level coach that is going to oversee a rebuild. Indiana, maybe, you know, they're also another team tied to Mike D'Antoni. Something would have happened by now. Okay, so if all those options are kind of iffy at best, then you circle back with the Pelicans. You're like, okay, well, this is his best bet. He has a connection with Griff. They're going to get something done. It's only a matter of money. Okay, I can see that logical process. But to be sure, that's going to happen. I don't see it. I mean, you could basically play the same game with Kenny Atkinson. You could be like, all right, well, you know, he doesn't really fit all these other teams. He has a relationship with Trajan. He should be the presumptive favorite for the Pelicans. And really, I just don't think – I don't feel confident it's any one person. And I'm not even confident – you know, I think Woj mentioned today on ESPN at some point that the Pelicans really haven't had any formal interviews. And if that's true, then it's kind of supportive of the fact that, okay, no one really knows where they're going.
Yeah, I mean, is there a guy or you know, is there a coach that you feel like is a legitimate candidate for this job who you are maybe lower on than other people? And I know we've talked ad nauseum about how it's hard to know much about the coaches and how they're, you know, how they'll perform, and it's a lot about, you know, their, you know, also some of the assistants they bring with them. But is there anyone that kind of you kind of puts you off and you would not be thrilled about?
No, I mean, the people I won't be thrilled about, I don't believe are candidates for the job. You know, I won't be thrilled about Jason Kidd. I don't believe.
Yeah, besides him.
You know, I wouldn't be thrilled about Mark Jackson, and I don't believe he's a candidate for the job. No. So the answer is no on that one. I do think that there are candidates that fans have mentioned that they would be happy with that. I haven't heard great things about around the league, that I'd be shocked if they're in any kind of consideration for the Pelicans. And, you know, I know a lot of fans get excited about the next big shot assistant off of whatever team. And there's no tried and true method of hiring the right coach. It really has to be the correct organizational decision that aligns with the philosophy that your front office has and the philosophy that your players are going to buy into. And, and there's no right way of finding that person.
Yeah. And has the right group of people surrounding him too, right? Him or her, I guess. Because right. I think that's a key point too. And I think we'll get into that later on. I think we had some good questions come in specifically around the coaching search and what assistants may stay here versus not. And I think that's an important point too. And as we've talked about with Gentry is that, you know, have putting guys like Bizdelic, Ehrman, Finch, those guys, that are well respected around the league and also are good basketball minds. Putting those people together, I think the more smart basketball people you have together who can push each other and to think critically and think differently about how to approach a game plan, I think that's important. You can't just rely on one head coach who you think is some mastermind to really call all the shots correctly all the time. Like I don't think even like Greg Popovich, I guarantee you that's not how it works in San Antonio. He's not the type of person who doesn't want to be challenged by his assistants on different perspectives on how to approach certain things with the offensive defensive schemes, things like that. So I think that's almost as important as making sure that you've got the right people around that head coach to not to say they need to be the brains of the operation, but they need to have good viewpoints that can be, to create real diversity of thought and improve the overall outlook. Even though sports had a break, your business didn't. You have to keep moving, and that makes hiring more important than ever. Indeed is here to help. Indeed.com is the number one job site in the world because Indeed gets you the best people fast. Unlike other sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring. You only pay what you need. You can pause your account at any time, and there are no long-term contracts. Plus, Indeed provides powerful tools to make your search that much easier, like sponsored jobs, which are shown to be 3.5 times more likely to result in a hire. With 73% of online job seekers visiting Indeed each month, Indeed is going to get you the important hire you need, just like they have for over 3 million businesses. Right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job post, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Try Indeed out with a free $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. This is their best offer available anywhere. Go right now to Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Offer valid through September 30th. The wait is over. Football is back. You might not be at a game this year, but you can still bet on the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on every possible chance to win this season. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than anywhere else. You can get in on their season opening bonuses today and start off wagering on wins, division, and championship futures all day, every day. Head to BetOnline today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Don't forget to use promo code BlueWire at betonline.ag. That's BlueWire, all one word. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
Kind of pushing the topic to something else, but catching up on what's going on with the Pelicans. The Pelicans starting point guard Lonzo Ball has switched
representation. Starting what?
Starting point guard Lonzo Ball.
Okay.
Hey, I just read whatever's written on the media guide.
Got it.
Has switched representation to Clutch Sports. And I think this is an important topic to discuss because there's a lot of emotions attached to the name Clutch, given what the fans went through last year with Anthony Davis and how that trade situation was handled. But I think it's important to kind of break down this boogeyman and why Lonzo may have made this switch. So a brief history on Lonzo's representation. 18 months ago, you know, he had his own representation. He was still part of the Big Baller brand. In April of 2019, so April of last year, he switched to CAA, which is an agency I believe Zion is with as well. And they're a really strong agency. I believe Jason Tatum is on that agency. I believe there's a lot of movie stars in that agency. I don't believe they all share the same agent, but it's a really powerful agency that spans across many entertainment platforms. So that's who Lonzo Ball was with in June. So he barely made it a year with CAA. In June, right before the bubble, he switched over to Roc Nation with LaMelo. And LaMelo switched over to Roc Nation and was immediately, I think he was given a Puma deal before he's been drafted. And so they switched over to Roc Nation, then the bubble happened, and now he switched over to Clutch. So there's been four representation changes in the last 18 months, in less than 2 years. I believe that's significant because if you keep changing representation, you're likely not in love with what you're being told. And maybe that's true for the first time, maybe that's true for the second time, but it's if it's happened four times, then I feel like there's a little bit of a self-reflection issue. And with what happened with Roc Nation, he signed with them in June, the bubble happened, he played really poorly in the bubble, the Pelicans have had all this time to talk to him about extensions. I'm sure Roc Nation tried their best to negotiate something. He didn't like what they came back with. And he's probably like, you know what? I'm going to go to Clutch. And Clutch is known for getting its clients what they want. And they're really aggressive about getting their clients what they want. And for the most part, it's worked really well. You know, it worked for Anthony Davis. It's worked for Tristan Thompson. It's worked for Eric Bledsoe. It's worked for J.R. Smith. It's worked for a lot of their clients. There are those rare situations like Nerland Noel, who has been on minimums ever since he turned down that 4-year, $70 million deal. But for the most part, Clutch is really good at what they do, and part of it is because they are so aggressive, and they come off as shameless, but they're good at what they do. Every athlete should want to be with them, right? And so given that representation, it seems pretty obvious why Lonzo signed with Clutch, given all of that's happened in the last month or in the last 3 months or so. And so he's probably not happy with what the Pelicans are putting on the table for him and is, I suspect, going to head into restricted free agency and rather than come to an agreement about any kind of extension this summer or this offseason.
Yeah, I think that
that line of or that logical thought process is spot on. I mean, it's, and we can't know for sure, but I think even before all this, we assumed that if there was any extension getting done, it was going to be Josh Hart probably and not Lonzo, and that they would just let that play out to restricted free agency, just because I feel like there's more uncertainty there, and there's more of a gap, I guess, too, between what Lonzo thinks he should make and his market value and what the Pelicans think is a fair contract for him. So, yeah, all the signs point to him just trying to cash in wherever that happens. So there, you know, there's I see very little chance that any deal gets inked before next off season. And that's assuming, you know, Lonzo's still on the team. If they get the sense from Clutch that no matter what, unless Lonzo truly has a revolution next season, and to his credit, that he's every offseason he's had so far, except for the bubble, or if you want to call that an offseason, he's been injured or he hasn't had a chance to really work on his game the way he would like. And that's a lot of the things you'll hear sometimes in defense of Lonzo. And I'm sure that's part of what, his agency will say or in terms of his negotiations. But, at the same time, you can't, there's too much risk in where the Pelicans are right now to pay for something you don't have confidence in never seeing. I don't see a path for them to come to an agreement. And if the Pelicans really don't see him ever reaching the level of performance or in the next year, feel like they'll be able to get comfortable with level of performance that's in line with what Clutch is going to push, then I mean, the chances of him getting moved go up too. And so that's, all interesting subplots to this.
Yeah. I mean, I think what's in line for Lonzo is a contract that's between $20 to $25 million if he works his tail off and gets really good and becomes a consistent level player, because that's the market for an above average point guard in today's NBA. That's what's in line for him. And clearly his extension talks haven't been anything close to that, and he understands that, and that's why he's going Clutch. But he has to earn that. He has to earn every penny of it. And right now you look at Lonzo and you're like, how can I justify paying you more than Marcus Smart is making? How can you justify that? Whereas his agency is going to be like, look at what Brogdon did. And, he averaged similar stats, something like 13, 6-6 or whatever it was, very similar stats on the Bucks before he got paid $20 million a year. And they're going to point to like, okay, well, Lonzo's younger, he can get better. So that's kind of how the negotiations are going to go down. And it's all going to depend on how much Lonzo improves. But, my personal stance is, it's difficult to buy into a contract year work ethic if it wasn't there before. And so I'm still hesitant to open up the checkbook for a player who, to me, they would have to be remarkably consistent. And if they were similar to what they were past year, where, you have streaks of really good play and streaks of just non-existence, I can't justify opening up the checkbook. So if it was consistent elevated play and just complete buy into a role, whatever that role was, that's what is going to make me comfortable paying him. I just have a hard time seeing seeing himself and thinking, oh my God, this is a contract year. I'm a number two pick. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to commit to this 3-and-D role where I'm a facilitator in the open court, but not really in the half court. And I'm going to, do what's best for the team. I think he's going to be like, I'm a point guard. I'm the number two pick. And, I'm going to try to – I think he's going to try to do too much. That's and frankly, if he tries to do too much, that's probably a better side of him, because there are games where he's just completely invisible. And so I'm interested to see what that looks like and interested to see what contract year Lonzo looks like. But personally, I'm not optimistic. The end result's going to be – me being satisfied with paying him big money.
Yeah. So I guess, that's a question I had was, I think in terms of like what's realistic and what's not, I think it would be unrealistic of us to expect Lonzo to suddenly be a guy who drives a lot and gets to the rim and can do that without turning the ball over, can get his free throw percentage up, not to like 80%, but at least something respectable. I think those are all things that like, it's just,
very uncommon in the NBA for players to suddenly go from bad to good at something like that. So especially in 1 year. And so we're not going to see that. We just got to kind of expect that. So I guess my question would be, if he does that, play out that first scenario you said where he's the player he was last year, but more consistent. So, you know, the 3-point shooting doesn't have just craters in certain points. And obviously there's a lot of, inherently there's some variation there in 3-point shooting, but he gets more consistent three-point range. He, his defense doesn't take as many, doesn't have as many lapses, is more focused. He's, more effort and just better. He just shows overall improvements just from another year in the NBA, but he's kind of the same player in other aspects, but doesn't try to do too much. I feel like the problem there still is that Clutch is going to want more for him than maybe that type of player's market value is. And so like is that Marcus Smart money? Could you justify paying him more than Marcus Smart money in the hopes that he starts to improve other areas throughout the next contract? Where would you stand there? And do you think there's a middle ground between if you're negotiating with Clutch on that?
Yeah. I mean, for me, and everyone already knows my stance and my bias, so call it whatever you want. But for me, it has to be complete buy-in to that role and demonstration that this is what I'm choosing to be good at. I'm going to double down on my strengths, which are defense and pushing the pace and just being a disruptor, that kind of play. And then kind of in the half court, being that connector that he is, if there's complete buy-in to that role, you know, I feel comfortable giving you more than Marcus Smart money. But anything short of buy-in to that role, I don't want to give you more than Marcus Smart money. I just don't. And I know Clutch is going to want the most money possible. So it's on David Griffin and it's on Clutch to kind of figure out what that destination is and who's going to be willing to pay him, whether it's an extension this summer or they're going to be happy to pay him as a restricted free agent and make that trade happen. That's my position.
And we keep saying Marcus Smart money, but for reference to folks, that's like 12 to 14 a year ish throughout the life of that contract. So, I share your perspective on that. And even so,
ultimately I think when Lonzo's like 26, 27, he is going to be that player. I think at some point he's going, whether it's his second team or his third team or whatever, wherever he's at, there's going to be a realization that I am not a half court point guard and he's going to be that player. And he's going to be a really, really good player when he starts focusing on only those areas. I just have very little confidence it's going to happen next year in a contract year on this team of all teams.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot to ask. And so I don't want to get into in the weeds on this, because the next point that this would lead to is what we talked about last time, is like trade or stick it out. And so I don't want to, I think we can probably move on, but good discussion on Clutch and very interesting decisions to come for New Orleans on that front. So let's see, we got, so playoffs, huh? Some stuff's been happening.
The playoffs, lots been happening. The Nuggets are way further than I expected. They even pulled off a win against the Lakers, which I did not expect. Anthony Davis has been really good, and I know people are still salty about him, and they have every right to be. I think Anthony Davis is a very good player, and he's just showing what he can do. He's finally, it's like you have a Ferrari, and the engine you've been given is Tim Frazier. You're not going to have good results, but when your engine is LeBron James of all people, then it's going to be very, very good. So good for him. Good for the Lakers. I still hope they lose. I'm not very optimistic they lose. I think at this point they're just going to win it all, but I do hope they lose. But the Nuggets have been incredible. Jokic has been a bona fide superstar. Jamal Murray has had a breakout. He's looking like looking like Steph Curry out there at times. And they're just a really fun team to watch. Meanwhile, in the Eastern Conference, Jimmy Butler and the Heat are doing crazy, crazy things. And the Celtics-Heat series has been just a total grind. And I'm excited to see what kind of chess match is in for the rest of the series. I hope it goes to seven.
Yeah. Yeah. Or, I haven't really seen a lot of fatigue on the Eastern Conference side. I guess I've seen it much more in the West. Both Lakers and Nuggets, I feel like there's definitely some
fatigue setting in on both those teams. The Nuggets have obviously played 3-1, come back from 3-1 both times. And, you know, I think the Lakers are trying to do just enough to get by to keep preserved. Because, like, even LeBron played 37 minutes last night. And, like, I feel like if they were truly concerned about the series, he would have played more than 37 minutes. But also I saw, I can't remember who tweeted out, but there was his second half numbers in the series so far have not been good. And so you ultimately wonder how much of it is fatigue for him. And, you know, when he wants to be, he's still the best player in the league, but he's also, the stamina is going to fall off at some point. And who knows if this is kind of the first sign of that, or if this is just him thinking he can still preserve energy and still, they can still, you know, get by here. But yeah, I mean, it's been fun. I just the whole experience, I feel like we're seeing, generally speaking, a higher level of basketball with the lack of travel that's on schedules, and just players being better rested for whatever reason you want to call it, whether it's travel or other extracurriculars the road trips. But yeah, it's been fun to watch. And I feel like a fun question is which team in the Eastern Conference you feel like has a better chance to take down the Lakers between Miami and Boston? Do you have a strong opinion there?
I feel like I have to go with Miami. I just feel like they have more of the personnel to make life tough for both Anthony Davis and LeBron James. Because here's what I keep coming back to. We have not seen LeBron backed into a corner yet this playoff series at all. He's not been uncomfortable once. You know, Anthony Davis has not really been uncomfortable once. Sure, he had that one game against the Rockets where they denied it, but that's not really like discomfort. You know, in order to beat the Lakers 4 out of 7 times in a series, you're going to have to make life excruciating for them. And we still haven't seen the positions where LeBron was put into when playing Golden State over and over again. There's been nothing to kind of draw that out. And frankly, like, the Celtics, I think, are very good. I just don't know if they have anyone that scares LeBron or can do it collectively. I think Anthony Davis would feast on that team, where I feel like with Elise, with Bam and the versatile players that the Heat have, like Crowder and Iguodala and Jimmy, they would have more success there. And I think their more perimeter and guard-oriented play is better suited to punish the Lakers than the wing oriented play of the Celtics. But I don't know, maybe I'm completely wrong here.
I've recently fallen into that camp. Before, I was thinking Boston. I think, but I might even reverse course on that again, depending on how quickly they can integrate Gordon Hayward's. Cause I feel like he's just another piece they can throw at, not defensively, but just like another weapon on the wing. And like the depth that Boston has there, while they don't match up as well, I agree with you totally. Like that, the Bam matchup, I'm super excited for if it happens between Bam and AD. And then similar, like Jimmy Butler and LeBron. I mean, I feel like that's a more fun matchup to watch on a game, on a night in, night out basis. But I mean, I could see the number of playmakers and good, you know, wings on Boston being a problem for the Lakers defensively. The question is, can it be enough of a problem to actually win 4 times, like you said? So to me, I do lean slightly towards Miami being the better matchup or having a better chance to take down the Lakers, but it's still pretty close for me.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I want nothing more than the Lakers to lose. So whatever makes it happen is what I'm going to be rooting for, which is why it's a little bit disappointing. The Bucks and, the Clippers kind of failed in the way they did. The Clippers was particularly interesting. There's been a lot of chatter with them. Do you feel like they're going to, you know, one thing I find interesting is I feel like Montrezl Harrell has lost a lot of money in this bubble, a lot of money. And, you know, there's something to be said where a guy is a useful regular season player and there is value and utility to that because you need to win regular season games. But man, the Clippers were really disappointing in the playoffs.
Yeah. It's I'm not going so far as to think that they blow up everything there. I think that was probably a hot take. They got fired off pretty quickly after they lost. And like the reality is that they do only have one more year to figure it out before there's free agency concerns. But Their offseason got more interesting to me because I think your point around Harrell is very fair. I don't think they're going to want to pay him. But also there's not much cap space out there elsewhere. And so maybe like they go over the cap to keep him or sign and trade because of the tax or apron issues. I'm very curious to see what happens with their roster this offseason and how they try to tinker on the edges and get themselves more ready for the big leagues, because it didn't seem like they were ready for it this time.
Well, what was most concerning to me was the reports and the tea spillage that are coming out of the Clippers locker room immediately after the loss. A lot of finger pointing, a lot of blame, and a lot of people pointing fingers at Paul George, which, again, he was spectacular in the playoffs, but he was actually really good in the Denver series. He probably was their best player, second best player on average, and everyone else kind of sucked. But Paul George had a good series outside of that Game 7. He had a good series. And to me, there's something toxic going on in the locker room, and I just don't know what the source of it is. And, you know, you hear about how strong of a culture the Clippers have had in the past, and with Doc Rivers, how he keeps everything – he keeps everything under wraps. He's a great coach in that regard. And you wonder, like, where the hell did it all come from? Like, what is actually wrong with them? So, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if they do move off some of the pieces that just don't belong in the locker room.
Yeah. And some of their guys they're getting more one-dimensional, and guys that maybe you can't play, like Lou Williams, good example, and Harrell too. Like, those are, like you said, six man of the year candidates in the regular season, and all of a sudden the playoffs, they've got to defend too. And that's it. You know, the team with Harrell in there just by itself, it was kind of a dumpster fire. People made a lot of the net rating, but like, it was still like, you know, ironically, he was probably one of their better players in Game 7, one of the few guys who was getting things done. But yeah, I'm very curious to see how they tinker with the roster to become more playoff ready. Like, I think that maybe the Clippers just kind of thought, as long as we load manage and rest guys enough, we can beat people from being well rested in the playoffs in addition to our talent. And I think they learned the hard way that it's going to take, you know, having the horses, not just, you know, making sure that the few guys that you really want to count on are well rested and healthy.
Yeah, all that load management stuff went out the window when there was a 4-month hiatus.
Yeah,
you know, every team. You know, it all went out the window. But, you know, kind of enough talk about the Clippers. But I think the one thing these playoffs have showed me is it's really, really hard to win in the playoffs. It's really, really hard to win one NBA game in the playoffs. And I'm a firm believer that the Pelicans, as they are just not ready at all to compete. I mean, let's say that you get in the playoffs, you're going to get demolished by the top seed. And I don't know how valuable that is. I don't know if it's worth pursuing that kind of goal at the cost of assets. I've already written about this. I would not, you know, obviously I want the Pelicans to be good and I want them to compete for the playoffs. I just don't want them making any silly moves that unnecessarily pursues the goal of making the playoffs at all costs. That's the thing that I'm advocating against, and I hope they continue to pursue that plan.
Yep, fully agree.
Well, I feel like this was a good wrap-up of where the Pelicans currently are. Thank you for listening to part one of our podcast. Tune in next time for part two, where we answer your questions.
Simplify your federal agency's technology procurement with Connection Public Sector Solutions. Connection's dedicated account managers, commitment to exceptional customer service, and extensive catalog of federal contracts make IT purchases quick, easy, and affordable. Turn your challenges into opportunities and get rid of your technology pain points with Connection today. Learn more about what's possible with Connection Public Sector Solutions at connection.com/fedcontracts.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.